As I mentioned, we want to have, I wanted to give opportunity for you, people from the church, and not just the usual ones who are up here speaking, but we want to hear from one another on how this has been impacting us and what disciplines have been put into practice and the fruit we're kind of seeing from it. So we've got four who are going to share this morning. We've got Daryl and Barb. I know we've already listened to Daryl a little bit this morning, but I love... That's enough, yeah. I love what Daryl has to share about his journey in one of these disciplines, and I think it's important for us to hear it. And then we've also got Marichelle, and we've got, drawing a blank, Elias. Elias is going to share as well. So, like I said, we want you to hear from people not named Brad or Randy or Jared, and we'll let Daryl talk this time. But, my prayer is that you'll hear from, you know, we've heard the theory for 4 months, and now hear, like, practical, real testimonies of this is what it's doing in my life. And just my prayer is that this will be an encouragement to us to take one or two of these up, and not just to do it for a season, but maybe starts out like that, but we want to incorporate these things into our lives day after day after day. And for them to take us deeper into the knowledge of God, the experience of God. Just as a reminder, as you listen to these testimonies, we're not listening for how well is someone doing this, right? That has nothing to do with it. If all my hope is in how well I can study the Bible, I will not get very far. I'll get filled with knowledge, which the Bible says knowledge puffs up. It just feeds my ego, and that doesn't really help me. We do these things in weakness, knowing that we'll stumble sometimes or we won't do it very well, but that's not the issue. The issue is God sees our weak heart taking small steps towards him, and he comes to that, right? And that's the whole point, and that's what we'll hear, and I know that's what we'll hear from Daryl's. Daryl and Barb, I'll get you guys to come first and just kind of share on your journeys. And so you can welcome Barb. You don't have to clap for Daryl, but you can clap for Barb. That's... Okay. So what I want you to answer, just two simple questions, is which discipline, or maybe two, have you kind of embraced, like, and tried to incorporate into your life, and kind of what has been the result of that, or what have you seen happen in your life from specifically from that discipline, and even just share how it's gone. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Good morning. I just jotted down a few thoughts yesterday here. I just got to get it up here. Okay. Oh, boy. I can hardly see. Hold the mic. Here, just a sec. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So the spiritual discipline, one of the disciplines
I'll hold it.
One of the disciplines that I've been...
They want to hear you.
I'll speak loud. One of the disciplines that a few of us have been implementing is fasting. And I just wrote down some notes yesterday, and I'll just go through this. So back in the fall... as elders and wives, we got together and we talked about how, like, committing to some of the different disciplines and how we can be intentional and purposeful in doing them. And one of them that we decided to do is fasting. And at first, I thought, oh my goodness, what am I getting myself into? Because...
Don't keep moving away from me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so, it's something that we're walking and growing in together, and personally for me, it really helps to know that there's others doing this with me. Daryl and I have actually, we're trying to fast on the same day, so that just really helps me and him too, I hope. But... But one of the things that Brad mentioned last year that resonated with me was that we don't just, you know, we've heard about all these different disciplines, and we don't just want to say, okay, I've been there, done that, you know, I've done this and that, and leave it at that. But we want to have them as long-term lifestyles. And yeah, like, that's my heart, is to, because I've done things in the past on a whim, and it doesn't last long, and so I want, you know, to embrace this, and with God's help and grace, to do them on a regular basis. So, so it's fasting, which I mentioned, and actually, I've been quite excited about it, believe it or not. I believe that God's given me a grace to do it, and I've listened to a few things online of different people talking about fasting, and also as I've been reading the scriptures and just coming across things on fasting, it's really stirred something up in my spirit. So it's just been really encouraging for me. And also, Elsa Marie had mentioned something about a guy by the name of Derek Prince. I don't know if many of you have heard of Derek Prince, but he for years was an international speaker, pastor, you know, preacher, and a lot of his literature and books has actually been translated into about 100 different, over 100 different languages. So he speaks on fasting, and it was really inspiring. I'll just read a few points here that he made. And also, I'm going to be very honest with you, in my life as a Christian, the last 30 years, I don't know if I've actually heard a lot on fasting, and maybe I did, but I just didn't want to hear it, so I didn't do it. But I'm sure I have heard some things, but for some reason, didn't want to embrace that at the time. So it's amazing how, as human beings, we can sometimes hear what we want to hear, isn't it? So, I just wanted to highlight a few things that Derek Prince mentioned here. And also, when Brad spoke last year, he said it's a gift to us that we walk out abiding in the vine in a more purposeful way. It's for the purpose of encountering God, and it's a yearning for his presence, and we make a choice between our flesh and our spirit. So it's a fasting is a way to feed our spirits. Derek Prince, one of the primary things that he actually talks about is how fasting is a biblical way of humbling ourselves before God. In James 4, we're all familiar with it, I'm sure. Humble yourselves before God, and he will exalt you and lift you up. And as I understand that, the meaning of that is that he will take us into a deeper place with him. So that's pretty cool that he will do that. And he also talked about the first ever sin, which was pride. And this was really interesting. And how it broke out in heaven when Lucifer, who was an angel, lost his place. He says that if the pride broke out in heaven to cause an angel to lose his place, then how much more are we susceptible as humans here on earth? So this hasn't been easy each week. I mean, I guess we've only been doing it for a couple months now. And yes, I've allowed the flesh its own way a couple times. But as crazy as it sounds, I'm excited to be on this journey, and it's really been encouraging to be praying and just seeing certain things happen. Even last week, Daryl and I, oh boy, we've been praying about something, and okay, Mark, calm down. And last week, at the end of the day, it was actually the day we were fasting. I'm finding that a lot is happening on those days that I'm fasting. At the end of the day, somebody... somebody that we've been praying for came up to us and opened up about something that's been hidden in the darkness for about... for about a year and a half. And it was really good, but it was hard to hear. But it was so encouraging to know that God is hearing our prayers. Yeah. And we all know that things that are hidden can't get dealt with until they're in the light. So it was just really encouraging that that happened. And also, another weird thing that happened was a couple weeks ago, again, I don't know what this all meant, but on the day that we were both fasting, we were all almost, I texted Daryl at one point and I said, oh, you're not going to believe this. I just about got hit by a car and I don't know how I didn't. Like, it was so weird. Like, I was sure this woman was going to hit me. And then later on in the day, Daryl comes home and says, I just about got hit head on today. Yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness, but God was with us. Yeah, that's it.
Very good.
Sorry I broke down.
That's okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. Barb's actually very good at this. She's better at fasting than me. So I just want to share something. Before I give my testimony, what that's happened, 3 o'clock this morning. And I wasn't, you know, I was awakened, let's put it that way. And I bought a new alarm clock, and blue it is, the blue numbers, and they're massive, because, you know, to see. So I knew what time it was, 3 o'clock, 3 a.m., I was wakened. And I wasn't looking, you know, for a word, but God just reminded me, Isaiah 50, verse 4. And I just want to read that to us this morning, kind of the set, what I just want to continue and give testimony. So Isaiah 50, verse 4. And it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient. And it was just interesting how the morning's gone on, how Maddie shared, you know, at the beginning that scripture, and Janet and Mark and others. He awakens me. It's God who awakens us. And it's just not awakened me, but he's awakened a number of us here over a period of time. It's God that awakens us. And he does the initiative. He makes the initiative. He makes the first start and the first step towards us. My response, our response, is to respond to that invitation that God is inviting us to. He awakens me. He awakens my heart. And it's awakened worship in my life in a more consistent way. It's awakened praise. It's awakened, you know, thanksgiving in my heart, like I remember before. Because God has awakened. He gives me an ear, he gives me a heart. He's opened our hearts. He's opened our ears as the disciple one to listen, to hear what he's asking of us and what he's initiating in the first place. And really, all we have to do in life, isn't it, is just to respond to what he is already asking us to do. I'm seeing that in a fresh new way. just responding to the songs, how much he loves us, his great, magnificent love for us, reckless love, that he came chasing. He would climb mountains for you and I. And we are just to respond. So I didn't want to get into a preach, but, you know, I just wanted to share that because God awakened me and I wasn't looking for something, you know. So it was just interesting. I had to get out of bed. I had to read. And it's a familiar kind of verses over the years, but I just had to read them again at 3 a.m. this morning, read them when I woke up again. I did go back to bed, just to let you know, and woke and read them again. He awakens me. So, when you know, one of the spiritual disciplines is Thanksgiving, and that's in celebration in that. And I talked on that, and actually I learned more for myself than actually you maybe heard from what I said. And that was, you know, a turning point, more increasing, and how important it is to be thankful in all circumstances. We might not feel like it, but if we act and do it with grace that God gives us and discipline that goes together. Grace and discipline. So it's just not, I'm disciplining myself to do this, because if you won't find the joy in it, we usually give up, right? So I've got to find the joy in these spiritual disciplines. And fasting is the least of the disciplines that I want to do. And yet God has put it on our hearts, challenged, invited us to respond to this. And not to respond just to, you know, a few weeks or months, but actually make it a way of life, as well as the other disciplines. I've fasted in the last 2 months more than I have in 10 years, kind of thing. I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I'm just saying the grace, along with the discipline that God has invited us to, that actually, and I'm starting to find a little bit of joy in it, because that will help me to stay the course, right? We give up so easy because we haven't got that joy in that spiritual discipline. So we can ask God from that, and he gladly gives us that. I haven't fasted just, you know, a whole day. I thought, if I'm going to do this as a way of life, I'm going to take, like, little bits. So the first week, the first day, I just fasted for lunch. Just 2-3 hours, then I ate in the evening. I thought, wow, that was good, wasn't it? Not, but you know, I didn't feel condemned, I didn't feel guilty. I just thought, okay, this is, if I'm going to use it as a way of life and make it, you know, value in my life. So then the following week, I increased that to actually to the dinner time, lunch and dinner time. But I ate, oh, you know, before I went to bed. Again, it's just learning, you know. Some people say, well, can't you fast a day? I make it good, you know. I'm just trying to not put myself off, in one sense, not overdo it, and thinking, okay, didn't really work, or I didn't really see the benefit, or I didn't see whatever. And then, so now it's gone from lunchtime right through to the next morning. So it's just a progression for me, of, you know, just increasing in that. I will get to that one day. And I say, I know others, you know, can fast, you know, a day easy. And, you know, for me, like I said, it was the weakest kind of, you know, in one sense, I wish I, you know, could do the others. And I do the others, and I could be quite strong in them, kind of thing. But then you can do it in your own might. But actually, you know, God calls us, you know, our weakness is his strength, right? So, you know, that's really all I want to say, that he's awakened my heart. He's awakened your hearts. And, you know, it's again, I just, when Mark read Psalm 131, he actually used the word time. And actually, when I looked at the clock, that word did come in my mind as well, time. It's time. God is waking us up. He is already awakening us up. He wants to increase that in our lives. But we have a choice whether to respond to what he's asking, inviting us into or not. And it's not a pressure question. It's not a condemning question. It's actually a loving, I want to invite you into what I'm about. I want to invite you in who I am. You can be very much part of what my purpose is in the earth and in the kingdom. And part of this is the spiritual disciplines that we need to develop and to grow in and cultivate and get good at. And so we just need to respond. There we go.
Cool, thank you. I love the part, Marichelle, you can come on up. I love the thing, I want to stress the thing Daryl said of, with him saying yes to this thing of fasting, and this is like one day a week is what we're doing, just one day a week. And so, like, that doesn't mean, when we say we want to start fasting, it doesn't mean pull a Jesus and go in the desert for 40 days with no food or water. Like, that's not what it means, right? It's. I love how Daryl's open about it. He started with one meal. He started with lunch, you know? And there was no, oh, that doesn't count. Like, no, it totally counts. And even with those small increments, how he's fasted more in 3 months than he has in 10 years, right? If we think of, I have to do it big or I can't do it at all, then we'll never do it, right? But just these small baby steps towards the Lord. And now Daryl's looking at going, wow, look at this track record I've built now in just the last few months. And then just to couple that with what Barb was sharing, just the tenderizing of the heart and Daryl sharing that too, the awakening, but then also just seeing God move specifically around those days. I think that's really exciting. He loves to come to us when we come to him. That's the idea.
Same thing. What discipline?
Okay.
What are you seeing happening in your life?
Okay. So the discipline that I've been practicing is one that I don't think was actually mentioned here. That's animal sacrifice. And just kidding. No, but the one that I've actually been doing, I still don't think was actually mentioned here. But it's a little bit less gory. It's the discipline of like personal worship, like individual worship, because we talked about corporate worship. But yeah, I feel like God's been leading me into like personal worship with him. So I'll give you like a little bit of background, I guess. So I was in a season like probably a month ago when I just like felt like really dry from God, and I'm used to hearing from God often. And so that kind of like freaked me out a little bit, like made me think things were kind of weird. And so one night at girls' Bible study, I was just going to ask for the girls to pray that God would speak to me. Like I just felt like I needed to hear his voice. And actually during Bible study, before I even asked for that, God spoke to me. And he said two things. And the first one was, if you come and meet with me, I will meet with you. So I was like, okay. And then I heard him say, if you come to me in worship, I will meet with you. And so I was like, okay, that's good. That's a promise. But like, for some reason, I was like, God, I can't do that. Like, I just felt like I'm going to fail. Like, I don't have time in my day to meet with you. I'm going to try to do it every day, but I'm going to skip a day, and it's going to be awful. Like, I can't do it. And so at the end of the night, I asked the girls to pray that God would speak to me, even though he already had. And sometimes I'm, like, super lazy with God, and I just am straight up with him. I'm like, God, you got to do this, because, like, I can't do it. But so they prayed, and Maddie and Melissa both had words for me. And Melissa's word was something about manna from heaven, that if I meet with God, he'll meet with me, and that I should do that on a daily basis. And so that, like, I know it's ridiculous, because, like, that's already what God said to me, but I just felt like what that was God saying, like, I hear your heart. Like, I hear that you think you can't do it. And now I'm speaking through someone else to you to tell you you can do it. And that's what I want from you. And then Maddie's word was from Psalm 95, verse 6, which says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And so God was like, if you come to me in worship, I will meet with you. And for some reason, I just had to hear, like, it was amazing to me hearing from God, like, no, you can do this, and I want you to do it so badly that I'm going to tell someone else to tell you to do it. And so that was really cool. So I went home, and the next morning I woke up super early, and I sat at my piano for like an hour and just played and sang and worshiped God, and it was amazing, and he spoke to me, and it was just so good, and I was so excited to do it like every day for like the rest of my life. And then the next day, it was the School of Leadership, so I had to be up at 6 anyways, and I did not have time all day to sit at my piano. And then the next morning was church, and I was on worship, and I did not have time to sit in front of my piano. And like 3 or 4 days went by, and I did not have time. And normally, like, old Marichelle would be like, you failed. That's it. You, like, can't do it. Like, you said you were going to do it every day, and now you've skipped a couple days, so, like, might as well just stop. But each of those days, even though I wasn't, like, doing what God had, like, said that I should do, he was pouring out so much to me. Like, every single one of those days, he was speaking to me in ways that I, like, hadn't heard him speak in a long time. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of, like, grace from him, of him just being like, I know your heart, and it's not about you having time to sit down and worship. It's about that you want my heart. And so he just gave it to me anyways. And so then we had, like, a leadership meeting one night, and Daryl shared that thing about how he was fasting for, like, sometimes between meals he said he would fast, which, like, I do that all the time. So, yeah, it's like, it's hilarious, like, our human weakness, but that God works through it and uses it and speaks to us. So, like, just what Daryl shared, like, I felt so much grace, like, I heard so much grace in what he was saying. And in the past, I've tried to fast, but it's always been like, oh, I ate something in the middle of the day, so now I might as well give up. Like, God's not going to speak, throw the whole thing out. And so I heard Daryl share, and I was like, okay, I want to try this too. So I decided to start fasting. And so I was going to fast on a Wednesday, which is a day that I go to work for the whole day. Some days I'm in school or I work like half the day or whatever. But I was like, yeah, so I'll fast. And so on my way into work, I was just like praying and like saying to God, like, if I'm fasting, I know you're going to speak to me. And so what do I want you to speak to me about? And I just thought, like, my coworkers, like, I want you to speak to me about them. But also, God, I don't want to talk to them about you. So if you say something, I'm not going to say it to them unless you make it really obvious and make me really bold. Which, like, again, I'm just like, sorry, God, I'm just so weak. Like, I can't do it. And so anyways, I went to work. And, like, during the day, there were so many times where it was just me and one other person in the room. And, like, I have talked about God to some people that I work with. And often it was, like, someone that I'd spoken to about God before, and it was just me and them in a room for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm like, man, this is my chance. But every time I felt like, God, it's not obvious enough. And I was just like, I don't feel bold. I feel like this is not obvious, and so I'm just, like, not going to. Like, I'm sorry. I'm, like, so weak. But, yeah, I just didn't feel it. And so I didn't want people to know that I was fasting, because then they would ask me about it and I'd have to explain why it's a godly thing to not eat for a day. And I just, like, thought it was too complicated. So I decided to wait until 3 o'clock to take my lunch, because I wanted to make sure that everyone else had had their lunch and no one was going to be in the lunchroom when I went there. And so the place where I work, there's, like, a retail store on the bottom, and then there's offices in the lunchroom upstairs. And so everyone in the store with me had taken their lunch, and I went upstairs to take mine. But there's office people who take their lunch, and I don't know when they're taking it. So I get into the lunchroom, and there's just my boss, like, sitting there. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Great. And I had brought my Bible and my journal, because I wasn't going to eat anything. And so for my lunch break, I was going to read my Bible and journal. So I walk into the room, and she's like, oh, what book are you reading? And I was like, the Bible? It just felt so ridiculous. And she was like, oh, is it good? And I was like, yeah, it's good. She picked it up, and, like, I have this funky, like, bookmark thing that I made, and she's like, oh, you made this? And then she was, like, just leafing through it, like, just looking at my Bible. And yeah, she, like, asked me, like, how long I'd been a Christian for, and I was like, oh, my whole life. And she asked if I went to church and stuff. And then she just said to me, like, yeah, I go to church once in a while, but, like, my parents say I don't go enough, and, like, I should probably go more, but, like, do you think that's bad that I don't go? And I was like, no, like, that's fine. Like, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. And then we talked for a little bit longer, and then she just said to me, like, I don't think I'm a good person. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not a good person. Like, no one is. And I told her, like, yeah, like, everyone struggles with sin. Like, that's part of being human. And she was like, don't you feel so guilty every time you do that? And I was like, no, because there's grace. And I just, like, I talked to her about how Jesus came so that we didn't have to feel guilty about every time we mess up. And even when we have Jesus, we still mess up all the time, but there's still grace, because that's why he came. And, like, that's what this whole following Jesus thing is about, is having grace. And Yeah, so we just talked about that for a while. She like told me about like her growing up a little bit and like trying out some different religions and stuff. And then she stops herself and she's like, hey, why aren't you eating? Are you going to eat something? And I was like, shoot, I thought I could avoid this whole thing. So I was like, well, actually, I'm fasting. And then she was like, oh my gosh, what is that? Like, what does that mean? And so then I had to explain everything that I didn't want to. But like, here's God making it obvious for me, right? Like, I'm like, yeah, I guess I have to talk to her. So yeah, I just told her about how like, when I weaken my body, then God can speak to me, and I believe that he's going to speak to me. And actually, I had woken up that morning and read, I think it's Psalm 63. Let me find it. Yeah, okay, so I had read this like that morning, and to me, it just speaks so much of fasting. It says, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Yeah. And so I didn't know how to explain to her why I was fasting, and so I just read her Psalm 63. And like, it was just like the most ridiculous experience of just like, yeah, just really like saying to God, like, I want you. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear from you. And like my prayer all day was like, God, I believe that with you, I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. Like that's what I believe. And so, I like finished talking with her. My lunch ended. I went back downstairs and I was just like smiling like a fool. Like everyone was like, what's wrong with you? Someone asked me, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how happy do you feel? And I just said, we make this joke at Bible study all the time, but I was like, I am lit on the Lord. Like, I just, so ridiculous. But yeah, like, just through this whole thing. So, like, I've been fasting every week, like, since then. It's been, like, 3 or 4 weeks now. And I've never, like, the first time I did it, I fasted for a whole day. And since then, I haven't been able to do it. And since then, I've, like, still gone to work on the days when I'm fasting. But, like, no crazy experience has happened. And, like, God hasn't, like, spoken to me, like, directly and specifically about something. But every time I just, like, say to him, like, I believe that I will be fully satisfied with you, he does it. And sometimes it's in the way of him just speaking to me personally. Sometimes it's just like this amazing feeling of grace of just like, I see that you want me, and so I'm going to give myself to you. And it's just been, really, really cool. Like I used to, I still do love checklists and like love doing steps and like going through steps. And so when we were going through all of the spiritual disciplines, like in church, every week there'd be a thing of like, if you have grace for this, like try it out. Or if God's like putting this on your heart, try it out. But for me, every week it was like, okay, another thing I have to do to get close to God. Sweet. Put that on my checklist. I'll do that one too. I just like, I ended up feeling like, okay, if this is the spirit of it, then I don't want to do that. And so, yeah, I kind of like, I'm so lazy with God sometimes, but I kind of just like let him take over. And I was like, if you want me to do one of these, then like you highlight it to me and you speak to me and you make it obvious and like everything. So yeah, he like so badly wants your heart, and he doesn't want you to like do things to show that you love him or like prove that you love him or want him, but he like wants to give you what you want. And so if you want more of him, like he just wants to give it to you. Even if you like mess up with fasting, or even if you skip a day studying your Bible, or you like don't have time to worship in the morning or something, when he sees that your heart is desperate for him, he just wants to pour out more and more. So there's so much like in his stores, like in the riches of his love that he wants to give to you.
Nice. Thank you. Very good. Way better than animal sacrifice. Yeah. It's like the last thing you want to hear come from the pulpit, like as an elder, right? It's like, no. That was funny. Good job. Elias, last one.
Here we go. Same thing. What discipline or disciplines? What do you see happening?
So I guess for me, I would say it would be study and maybe a little bit of solitude. Mixed in there. I don't know where to begin. Let's see. Okay, so 2017, the guys' Bible study, we decided to do the Bible in a year. We'd read the whole thing. And so it was. We had a schedule, and it was divided for like a daily read every day. It was about four chapters or something per day, and 365 days, you'd finish the whole thing. And so I was all stoked about it, like when we started, and I was like really excited, and because I wanted to do it, and like it genuinely excited me. And a bunch of us agreed that we would do it, and it was pretty good for a while. Like I would read and it was good, like, I don't know, and just learning the whole story of the Bible, and I think I got to about Deuteronomy, and then I started missing a couple days here and there, because it was, like, getting really tough, and I was like, oh, I'll just, I didn't read today, but tomorrow I'll just read yesterday's and today's, so I'd keep up, and then I'd be reading, like, eight chapters, and then I'd miss 2 days in a row, and I'd be like, oh, I gotta read 20 chapters today. And then it got to a point when I read like 30 chapters in a day, and I couldn't remember a thing. I couldn't remember anything I read the whole time, which is not good, because that's not like what you want when you're reading the Bible. Like, you're not just reading it to, you know, get through it. And I would keep missing these days, and I would like, I don't know, I'd be like angry at myself for it, and I'd like, I don't know, I would just, like, really be aware of how much I sucked, you know? And it was making, I don't know, the whole thing was making me, like, stressed out, to be honest. And that's not the way, that's not how God wants us to feel, like. And so, anyway, I don't know. I prayed a lot about that whole thing, like, throughout, I don't know, as we were reading the Bible in 2017, and I guess maybe since we sort of started the spiritual disciplines, I don't know, God has already been sort of, has been like over the last year or so, has been like speaking to me about the Word of God and how incredible it is. Like, I don't know, like the Word of God is alive, and yeah, it is literally like, I don't know, I just think of Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And every time that I sort of forget that, I don't know, forget about reading my Bible or whatever, I remember that, I'm like, man, like, that is the one thing, because, like, I don't know, you feel empty sometimes when you sort of, you feel that distance from you and God. Not necessarily reading the Bible, but, like, praying and just being intentional about spending time with God, spending time, you know, in your heart, speaking to God. When you sort of don't do that, you feel it. You feel empty. And I just felt like, I don't know, over the last year, God's really been speaking to me about how much He wants to speak to me more, and how He's not angry at me for, like, not reading, like, the Bible or forgetting or whatever. Like, He just wants to speak to me. And I guess since, I don't know, we started the spiritual disciplines, it sort of changed from, like, this thing of, like, beating myself up about, like, not reading it to more being like, man, like, I really want it. Like, I miss it. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess ways I've done it is sort of, you got to find time. Like, you have to fit it into your routine. If you're not planning to read the Bible, then you won't. So I don't know, I find the best time for me is before work, and it's just been amazing, like reading and praying and talking with God and just seeing how much He speaks to you through that. Like, it's incredible. And not, you know, trying to be like, I got to get through the whole thing, and like, I'm going to read 30 chapters today. But, you know, reading as much as you can, or as much as you feel, like at the point when you're like, I don't know, yeah, just reading as much as you have grace to, you know. And God will speak to you through that. And that's just been one thing that I've found so helpful in my life. Like, I don't know, because the Word of God changes the way you think, which affects everything you do. Like, it changes the way I think about my family and my friends and, like, my job and my boss and and everything, and just it makes you think. It like puts everything through the filter of God's word, and you know, it when you compare, you know, your life to God's word, it's pretty stark. And so it's like, I don't know, like the contrast can be stark, like, because, you know, no one's perfect, and like God points things out, and there's like, maybe you need to change that. And it's like, oh, I don't want to. But like, I don't know. The more you read, the more it becomes a part of you, and the more it actually makes you want to do the things that God asks of us. And yeah, just the whole thing about, like, he gives grace to do these things, and we find joy in it. It's not something, God isn't, you know, doesn't want us to be robots and just do things without, you know, any feeling or anything, but he asks us to do them because he knows that they'll make us happier. Like, he knows that they'll bring us joy and they'll bring us the most, you know, fulfilling life we could ever find. You know, like we can't plan a more fulfilling life ourselves. And so, I don't know, just like, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man. Wasn't that, like, good? I hope so, yeah. I love just the common thread of, it's like every single one of us is saying, like, I don't do this very well, right? And God's there. Like, there's hearts are awakening, turning towards him, and he's speaking. And that's the whole point. He's responding to our gesture towards him, not towards our performance, right? And that's the whole point. So just wanted to say, be encouraged, you know, to keep on with this and embrace one or two of these and, you know, talk to one another about it. Share your stories, you know, encourage one another in these things, because these are, again, it's not an end in itself to study the word, but studying the word leads us into encountering his heart. And that's where we want to be. We want to encourage each other on into that. So thank you to everyone who shared. And let's just wrap this up with a prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all you're doing with us as a church and how you're drawing us, how you're awakening us. And Lord, we ask you to continue doing that. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to awaken love, to awaken hunger, to awaken desire that we would seek to encounter you. And Lord, we ask, just like Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, we ask that you would cause us with all the saints to know what is the width and length and depth and height of your love, to know and experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Lord, would you cause us as a body to enter into the experience of your love in a greater way. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.